Good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam, Hilchos Mamrim. We start a new set of laws, the laws of rebellious ones. And we'll start with the mitzvos that are in this section. Yesh b'chlolon teisha mitzvos. There are nine mitzvos in this section. Sholosh mitzvos asei, three positive mitzvos. V'sheish mitzvos lo sasei, and six negative mitzvos. So these are the details. Number one, positive mitzvah is lasos al pi haTorah shamlanu bezdin hagadol. We should do things according to the Torah as the bezdin hagadol tells us. In other words, we got to follow the directions of the Sanhedrin. Number two, shalol losam divrayim, not to veer away and to go away from their words. Three, shalahosi val Torah, not to add unto the Torah, lo b'mitzvah shebichsav, not in the written laws, lo b'perusha, not in the explanation of it, shalman v'shmur, that we learn rabbinically, we don't add to that. Dalit shalali grom inakol, we don't detract from any of the mitzvahs. Now, there's other types of rebels besides rebels to the Torah. Hey, shalakal alvaim, not to curse your parents, that's also kind of a rebel. Vav, number six, shalal kosam, don't hit your parents. Seven, lachabdam, to honor your parents. Ches, liyaram, to fear your parents. Tesh, liya, ben sora, mor, al kol avimah. They should not be a child who rebels against the voice of his father and mother. These are the nine mitzvahs. Now we're going to discuss. So this is all against nonconformists. All right, not such a long section. We should be able to, really, it's quite short. It's
only,
no, by Purim.
Before,
it's only seven chapters. It's very short. Okay, Aleph. Bezdin HaGadol Shebir Shalayim, the big Bezdin in Jerusalem. Haim Ikur Torah Shebal Peh, that's the primary oral law. Veheim Amudei Hora, and it's the pillar of decision making. In other words, they tell us how to explain a pasuk, what we derive from the pasuk, umehem, and from this chief court, chok umishpat yotzei chol Yisrael, all the statutes and laws come out for the Jewish people. Valeim hivticha Torah, the Torah made a promise and relies upon them to make the correct interpretations, to understand the mitzvahs. That they're the only ones who can explain it correctly. Shenemers, it says, Al pi haTorah asher yaruha, according to the Torah, that they will teach you. And zu mitzvah saseh, this is the positive commandment, that they are the ones who are the decisors of what Torah means. V'chol amami b'moshe rabbeinu b'taraso, and anyone who believes in Moshe and in his Torah, chayiv lismoch maseh, that's all, he has to rely that the religion is based on what they say, ulihi shoin aleim, and has to trust them, that Hashem is directing them in the right direction, and that they're not making mistakes. Wow. So you gotta rely on them. That's the source of all our Torah. Base. I mean, the way the Torah is sensibly adapted to our present times. Obviously, we know God gave us the Torah at Sinai, but we need to have the Bezdin HaGadol tell us how we live that Torah exactly in our times. And you can see now what the real Torah is when you lose that Sanhedrin. You could see what the tragedy is. That means the whole Torah shel Baal Peh is lost. And that's the Purim story, you see, was after the destruction of the first temple. It means the oral law was lost. Oral law was lost, and that's the background of the Purim story. Listen to the tape, you'll learn more about it. Base. Kol misha eino isek ha-rasam, anyone who does not follow their decisions, over below sas, they has transgressed the negative commandment. Shenever it says, lo sasam, we should not deviate from anything asher yagiducha, what they tell you, yomi small, right or left. As the commentaries say, if they say what you think is right is left, and what you think is left is right, you should still do what they say. No matter what direction they tell you to go. However, what if you don't listen to them? What kind of punishment do you not get? They loken alav, say you don't get last for this lav. Why? Because it's worse. Mipnei shenita and las horas misas bez, because it's really something that should get the death penalty. If they would warn you, listen, buddy, you better not diss the chief rabbi, the chief court. You're gonna get killed, so you can't get lashed for something like this. You're really supposed to get killed for that. So you don't get lashed. Shekol chacham shemoira al divrem. Any wise man who rules, rebels. There's different texts here. On their words, misaso bechenek, he gets strangulation. Shenemer, as the Torah says, va'isha shayasa, a certain person who does willingly against, etc., etc., he gets killed. Echad varm shalom devosi v'shmin, doesn't matter if it's something that was a law that was given over from halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that doesn't matter if it's that, v'heim Torah shebal peh, which is the oral law that Hashem taught Moshe at Sinai. Moshe didn't write it, but he taught it to the Zakenim who gave it to Yeshua. It was all orally transmitted, doesn't matter that. V'echad varm shalom v'vidaitam, it doesn't matter if it's something that the Sanhedrin came up with their own understanding. V'achas min amida shatar shalom, it's one of the 13 hermeneutic principles of how you can learn Torah. V'nir b'nem, and it appears that their eyes should dover zakah, that's what it should be. That, same thing, you go against that, that's the second thing. V'echad varm shasum siyag l'tor, and it doesn't matter if it's something they made as a fence around the Torah. And what the times needed, and these are the decrees, vatakonas, and the decree, takona, ordinances, let's say. So the decrees are, for example, chicken and milk. That would be considered a gzera. That's a decree. We go a little stricter, that beyond what's actually usher. Takonas is, for example, Erevin, Netilas Yadayim. Those are takonas. They instituted practices. So gzera is to be stricter than what the biblical law is, to safeguard the biblical law. And then we're talking about enacting new things. Vamin hagas and customs that they want to strengthen the group and the religion. For example, they said, for example, not to do work on Erev Pesach until after Chatzos, or hitting the Arava on Hashanah Rabbah, or reading Hallel on Reish Chodesh, or taking out a dead person in Tachrichim. Some things they make as Tikkun Olam. Okay? That's customs. That it's important that the Jews do this. Similarly, it's the custom is women don't put tefillin on. Okay? That's the way Jews are. And if you don't do that, you're rebelling against the Torah. You get it? That's the problem here.
Is that a problem?
The rabbi said, well, where does it say in the Torah? The rabbi said women don't put tefillin on. You got it? So now, because there's a reason why they shouldn't put tefillin on. But Rashi's granddaughter, daughter's grandchildren. Yes, old wives tell it's not true even. Right? Well, no, they said you don't do it because that they're not have proper Jewish homes if women put their tefillin on. So if we had a Beis Din and we'd warn you, we'd kill all those ladies, okay? Kol echad, calm down. Kol echad ve'echad me'eila shloshet v'arm, any one of these three areas, mitzvah saseh lishmol, it's a positive mitzvah to listen to them. If these women wanted to be good Jews, they'd listen to the rabbis. And then they would be doing a mitzvah. If they wouldn't put on their tefillin, they would be doing a mitzvah, do you see? Over al echad mehem, and if you transgress on any one of those three types of categories, over below la sasa, you're transgressing a negative commandment. Hareyu omer, because the Torah says, and look how we deduce each one of these three types of laws from the three clauses in the Torah. It says, al piha Torah asher yerucha. You have to go according to the Torah that they teach you. What's that telling us? Elo atakonis v'gzeresam and hagashero lechem l'rabim. These are the different decrees and rulings they did in order to teach the masses, kedei lechazek, get us to strengthen religion, l'takalam, to fix up the world. That's the first thing you have to listen to. V'ala mishra shiromer, and the judgments that they say, elo v'am shum do osom in adin. That's what they learn from the 13 principles. And then the final clause is, me called over from anything, Asher Yigal, they will tell you, that's the tradition that was handed down orally from Moshe, etc., etc. So you see, the three clauses within that text are really enumerating these three types of things that we have to listen to what they say. Yes, sir.
What is Da'as Torah? The phrase.
That's when you don't have a Beis Din, but you got the Torah leaders telling you to do that. We don't have a Beis Din today. We can't enforce this. There's no Sanhedrin today. So a person says, there's no Sanhedrin, I can do what I want.
Would that be considered rebellious, going against us, Torah?
Well, we'll see. We've got six chapters to go.
But there isn't necessarily unanimity amongst rabbis, you know.
Every Orthodox rabbi who's worth his salt says that a woman should not put on tefillin. Period. Rav Herschel Schachter from YU says they can't put on tefillin, and we would call him, in the relative scheme, nothing, you know, he'd be a little more on the liberal side because he's YU. But even, I'm just saying, but he says strongly they can't do it. Like, strongly they can't do it. People think YU is such a modern Orthodox play. He was strong that they can't do it, okay? So that's unanimity on that. You know, the charlatan Orthodox rabbis telling you to put foma. Okay, so that's Das Torah. Das Torah means, I'm not picking on you, Mike.
Oh, no.
It's just Das Torah means, if the leading rabbis tell you to do it, we listen to them, as if it was the Sanhedrin telling us. That's what Das Torah is. Okay, Gimel. Now we go back, we backtrack a little bit now. Ho 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 ho. I'm debating if I should do a long piece over here.
Oh.
Anyway, well, let's... I did
do
it.
Do it.
All right. Anyway, the Ramban writes in his Sefer HaMitzvos, he asks a question. Okay, he says, if according to the Rambam, that anyone who doesn't listen to what the Beis Din HaGadol tells him, you don't listen to what the rabbis say, you're transgressing a biblical mitzvah. That's interesting. Now, it's what the rabbis are saying, right? So what the rabbis are saying, you're transgressing a biblical mitzvah. Even if it's a decree or a takona, that means, you know, that they added things later on, that you're going against the Torah if you don't listen to them. So therefore, why aren't we strict when we have shilas in halacha? How come in rabbinic things we're always lenient? We should be strict just like a biblical thing. Yep. In other words, why we have a rule? If it's a suffix d'oraisa, we go l'chumran. A suffix d'rabbanan, we go l'kula. Yeah. Why? Every d'rabbanan is a d'oraisa, isn't it? If you don't listen to what the rabbis tell you to do, the rabbi said do this, right? Now obviously they're rabbis, it's Rabbanan. But we say if you don't listen to them, you're violating a biblical commandment. If it's a suffake, did the rabbi say to do it or not? But if I don't listen, I'm transgressing a biblical transgression. So why don't we say suffake to Rabbanan l'chumra just like suffake to
Raisa? The rabbi said you should go lenient on rabbinic law?
So hold on. And we see we're very, as a matter of fact, we see we're lenient in rabbinic words much more than biblical words, right? Suffix to kula, yeah. All these kinds of things. Why do we allow you to place a little thing on the ground next to a pool of water when an animal's drowning so he could step on it to get out? You are transgressing a rabbinic law of nullifying a utensil from its use. On the other hand, we have Tzar Balachayim, which is Doraisa. We see that the Doraisa pushes off the Rabbanan. So we see that rabbinic laws don't carry so much weight. Why don't they? So this was the question of the Ramban. In other words, the Ramban was questioning the Rambam. How could you say this is a biblical mitzvah? How could the rabbis tell us to be so lenient? This was the Ramban's criticism of the Rambam. And the Mabit answers that what Paul was getting to, that the rabbis made a condition initially. They say that anyone who goes against their decrees, the punishment cannot be as strict as the Torah. And they were initially being mochel, that any doubt of our words, we will go lenient. But this is only, listen, if you transgress these words for, let's say, for necessity. Let's say you're ill. The rabbis never said their words if you're ill. Right? If they said, yes, you shouldn't do this, but if a case where you're sick, the rabbis would never have said you have to do this when you're sick. But what if a guy says, you know what? I don't want to do it. Okay? I don't like this law that you guys made.
Rabbis made it up.
Right? I don't like it. Now! Wow, that's a biblical violation. Mom. Now you're going against, they said you should do it. The rabbi said, if you guys are going to say what we said isn't true, that we're not mochel in our honor. Now you're going against a biblical law. But if you can't, it's hard for you, it's going to be because difficult is we never planned on making this religion so hard on you. So, and if you're not sure, it's a doubt, we're mochel in our kavod. But if people are saying, you know, Torah says you can't fear left and right to what they say, and you refuse, well then already, we're not happy with you. And that's what the Rambam means when someone transgresses these laws, he violates the biblical law, that's when he says, I don't believe what the rabbis are saying is true. But if there's a doubt, the rabbis themselves never wanted it to be hard on Yidden, and therefore they initially made it in a way that it shouldn't be difficult.
So are you transgressing a lo saseh or an aseh when you do that? Is it a
do
lo
what?
Saseh? When you say, I know, the rabbi said,
you're
it, I'm
transgressing
not doing
a biblical of averus, a law. You can't deviate.
Right, so you get lashed?
We said you can't because you should get killed for it.
Okay, so this is something you should get killed for.
If you would be witnesses warning you in advance, you better, what is this business? You're not going to do this. You realize you're transgressing this commandment, and it says, what? Anyone who maliciously doesn't follow this halacha is killed.
Okay.
Right? So if a Bezdin in Yerushalayim told women not to put tefillin on, and they warned them not to put tefillin on, not only could they spit at her, they could kill her. Okay, but that's a problem. We don't have a Bezdin anymore, so it's a big problem.
Yeah.
It's a big problem.
And what about the Rav who told her that she could put on?
We'd kill him first.
He gets killed first.
He's worst. He's a Zake Mamre.
Well, he's a master.
He doesn't listen to the
and
other
he has
rabbis.
No all the Rambam, he has no tshuva.
He's a, all the other
he
rabbis said this is the law. The rabbi's worse. We'd kill him first, and then the other ladies
but
wouldn't put them on.
Doesn't the Rambam say he has no tshuva?
All right.
Because he led
Hashem should have mercy on this guy's soul. Right. Okay, let's go on. Gimel. Divrei Kabbalah. Okay, so things that are called Kabbalah, that means oral tradition from Moshe from Sinai. Okay, those things. Ein bohem machlokas om. There's never an argument. No arguments about that. Okay, that's all clear. Because there were things that Moshe gave over, and we can't argue, did Moshe say this, did Moshe say that? No. V'chol davar shenimtza bo machlokes, if you find anything in the Gemara where there was a machlokes, b'yadu yinoh she'eino kabo mashmal, that didn't come from Moshe. Moshe gave things clear. When the machlokes and developed much later on. Okay? Now more than that. U'dvorim shalomeidim in adin, and things that you can learn from one of the 13 principles, or let's say a Kal Vachomer or something like that. If the whole Bezdin, the big Bezdin, they would agree to it, well then, they'd agree. So there can't be an argument there either. If there be an argument amongst the rabbis in discussion, they go after the majority, and the verdict would be published according to the majority. So there's no argument either. There could be internal discussion, but when they came to the final thing, this is the law, all 71 said, that's the law. We all will agree. And the various decrees and the things they told us to do and customs. If some of them saw it was fit to make a decree, or institute something, or to allow people to do what they were doing and not to say anything against them. And then some of them said, Sha'ain Royalizer, maybe you shouldn't make the decree, or not to institute something, or and don't let people do. So what went on in the Bezdin HaGadol? Well, no simonosnim, they'd be discussing it out. Then they go after the majority. We do things after the majority. So therefore, there was never a machlokas in Moshe's time, and there was never a machlokas when there was a Sanhedrin. Because they were all internally decided, they came out with one final ruling. No such thing as a machlokas yet. That's what he says. When the great Bezdin existed, there was no machlokas. If there was ever a doubtful situation that arose, Lechem Yisrael, when any Jew had, what would he do? A Jew had a shy, didn't know the answer. What would he do? He would show the Bezdin Shabir. He would go to the Bezdin in his city. Im Yodav, they knew the answer. But they would tell him, Lava, they didn't know the answer. Hare Sholim also Bezdin. They would ask in that Bezdin, Oim Shluchav, Oim Shom. Either that Bezdin or messengers would go to Yerushalayim and ask the next higher court. Vishon LeBezdin Shabbat Harabai. They'd ask the Bezdin that's on the Temple Mount. All right. The Im Yarov they knew Amr. They would tell me a lot of not Hakoba and Lebesin shall pesul. There was another besin by the entrance way into the courtyard. Im Yarov they knew Amr. They tell me a lot of not Hakoba and Lebesin. Then they went to the office of hewn stones. Lebesin Agodel. That's where the great besin was. Vishol and they'd ask. Im Hayadav Vishol ba Savik Lakol Yedu Eitzel Besin Agodel. If the shayla that was asked was really a well-known law that the Bez and Gadol knew, Bein Mi Pi HaKabbalah, whether it was a transmit all the way from Moshe, Bein Mi Pi HaMidrash Rambo, or if it's based on the Hermeneutic principles, and we had to give an answer right away. What if the Bez and Gadol says, you know, we never had such a case where it's talking to the question, we don't know the answer. They would judge it at that spot. They go back and forth to discuss it until they all came to an agreement, or they come to a vote. They went after the majority of and they would ask all the questioners. They'd say, they'd ask all the questions. This is the law. And there we go after that way. However, but when the Bez Nagodl ceased to exist, now that's after the destruction of the temple now. Rav Samachloikis Bishol. Then the arguments began to increase. Zem etami, this one says it's tamei, v'nosein tamei, he gave a reason for his thing. V'zem etar, this one says it's not, it's tar, v'nosein tamei, he gave a reason for him. Ze also, this one says it's not allowed. V'zem mata, this is allowed. Let's do one more hey to finish up the first parak on the first day. Now, hey. So that's the, now you understand where machlokas came from, because there was no wherewithal to say, you have to listen to me now.
Is that, so how do we have huge differences between Chassidim and Chassidim and Chassidim and Misnagdim?
Because that's what you have now. We
no, but why hasn't there been an edict that everybody has to have?
Who has the power to make? Let's do hay now, please. That maybe that'll answer your question. Shnei Chachamim, two wise men, or Shnei Batidon, two courts. We don't have a Sanhedrin. Shenechulku, they had an argument. Shalobi's manasan. It's not during the times of the Sanhedrin now. Or before it was clear to the Sanhedrin. In other words, let's say there was a Sanhedrin, but there's a Shaila right now, I need an answer today. I can't wait. It's a life in this situation. To give me an answer now. We don't have time to wait to go to Yerushalayim. And there's two rabbis give two different answers. It's not that they're rebelling against the Sanhedrin. We don't have time. So either when there's no Sanhedrin, or we just don't have the time to ask the Sanhedrin. Bein bisman echad, bein bisechad. Doesn't matter at the same time or one after the other. Echad netar vechad matame. One could say Torah, one could say Tomei. Echad oser, echad matar. One could say it's allowed, one could say it's not allowed. Im eincha yodea lehechan. In other words, you got out there different opinions, and now you have this question. You got already different opinions out there. Im eincha yodea lehechan. If you don't know which way the judgment really should go, so here's the rule. In other words, I don't know. I hear this opinion that says no, opinion that says yes, and I don't have any particular rabbi. Bishol Torv, it's a biblical question. Halech Echar Amachri, go after the strict opinion. Bishol Sof, from Rabbinic Shaila. Halech Echar Amach, Ket Mekel, you go after the lenient opinion. Okay? And that, now that depends, the commentaries say it depends if maybe there are greater rabbis, then you go after the greater, this ones are all equal. But if you have greater rabbis, maybe you go with the greater rabbis. But you see, once there's no Bez Nagodl, who's to say this rabbi is right, this rabbi is wrong? As long as he's a credible rabbi. That's the idea. If he's a charlatan who happens to have a smicha, that doesn't make him a credible rabbi. Right? If all the rabbis say he's wrong, then you know what? It's not a question of one against another. And that's where Das Torah comes back into place. And that's when the arguments begin.